Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it certainly wasn't on the scale of the 1980 Olympics. The game between the Americans and the Russians yesterday certainly lived up to all the hype, and boy, was that an amazing game. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to Beyond the Bench. I am your host, Ryan Stern. We are brought to you today by BackSportsPage.com. Follow them on Twitter at BackSportsPage. Go to Facebook.com/BackSportsPage. Once again, my name is Ryan Stern. You can follow me on Twitter at RStern33BSP. You can follow the show on Twitter at Beyond the Bench or on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/BeyondTheBenchBSP. How is everyone doing today? We have an abbreviated show for you today. We'll only be on for about a half hour today. But if you want to make any calls, we'll be taking them. 760-283-0846. 760-283-0846. I'm going to open up with some Olympic hockey. And we had Joe Adler on last week of DynastyEmpireSports.com. And we had both said that we thought that the Americans were the best team in Group A. But we also understood the kind of offensive firepower that the Russians have. And this year, for the first time in quite some time, maybe since Tretiak, the Russians have legit goaltending. Between Bobrovsky and Varlamov, they have two of the top maybe 10, 12 goalies in the entire NHL. Their weakness is their blue line, their defensive players. But we all understand just how much offensive firepower they bring. Whether you're looking at Ilya Kovalchuk, who is now playing in the KHL, but he is as electric as an offensive player as there is. Evgeny Malkin. And who I believe, Alexander Ovechkin, and then the player who I believe is the best hockey player in the world, was the reason that the Russians made it as far as they did, and that's Pavel Datsyuk. Pavel Datsyuk is, and when I mean best player in the world, I mean two-way, offensive, defensive. He's out in every situation, penalty kill, power play. is the captain of the team. His hands are just absolutely ridiculous. And his smarts, he knows where to be at all places at all times. And Pavel Datsyuk is the reason why that game was in overtime. And sure, the Americans got a break with 4:40 left in the third period after Datsyuk tied it up at two. Federer Tootin rips a shot from the point. Looks like maybe Alexander Radulov deflected it with a high stick, and that's why they were reviewing it. No, he and it was clear that he didn't touch it. And when you heard the or when you saw the referee come out of the penalty box after getting off with the reviewers, and he waves the goal off, you're wondering, how did the Americans get away with something like that? And then you saw that one camera angle that showed that the net was slightly off its moorings. And in Olympic play, Olympic competition, the net has to be on at all times. So the Americans catch a break. They go to a shootout. And you have to give Dan Bylsma a lot of credit. A lot of coaches after T.J. Oshie, one of the main reasons why T.J. Oshie is on the team is because of his shootout prowess. He's been the best in the NHL, I think, the last 2 years, has the highest percentage of anyone with a minimum number of attempts. But after... After he doesn't score on his third attempt, which would have been at the in the fifth round, a lot of coaches would have made a switch. But he trusted T.J. Oshie. He knows that T.J. Oshie has the mindset that he knew he had the mindset to make that work. T.J. Oshie goes 4-for-6 in the shootout. Ilya Kovalchuk goes 2-for-2. Pavel Datsyuk goes 1-for-3. Ilya Kovalchuk goes 2-for-4. Pavel Datsyuk goes 1-for-3. Malkin misses, and Jonathan Quick made the save when he needed to make the save. And he's getting a much needed a day off this morning. The Americans are currently in action against Slovenia, who has been quite the pleasant surprise. They kept in their opening game. This is the first time Slovenia has ever made the Olympics, ever qualified. In their first ever game, they play against the Russians, and halfway through the third period, it's still a one-goal game. And then they go on and they beat Slovakia, who I thought was one of the dark horses. And they have played awful. Just awful hockey. The Americans beat them 7-1 in their opening game, including a 6-goal second period. But Slovenia has... like I said, they've been a real pleasant surprise. They only have one NHLer on their team, Andrei Kopitar of the LA Kings. But they've really held their own. And the score right now is 4-0 as the third period is getting underway. That score does not reflect how the game has been played. The Americans came out on fire. Phil Kessel scores 2 goals in the first 4 minutes. And really, for the last 15 minutes of the first period, the Slovenians outplayed the Americans. And then they outplayed the Americans for the first couple minutes of the second period. And then Phil Kessel jams in a rebound for the natural hat trick. And Ryan McDonough of the New York Rangers gets his first goal of the tournament. And we are currently sitting 4-0 as the third period is underway. One thing is clear is that the Americans really need to establish some sort of forecheck and offensive prowess 5-on-5. Against the Russians, their only two goals in regulation came on the power play. Cam Fowler and Joe Pavelski. And Joe Pavelski has been one of the best players for the Americans so far in these games. Puck just seems to find him. When he needs to shoot, he'll shoot. When he needs to pass, he'll pass. He's been great. And Ryan Miller gets the start for the Americans in net today. He's looked very solid. I was surprised when the initial nod went to Jonathan Quick. But Jonathan Quick has looked real good. And if this weren't a situation where they're playing on back-to-back days and they were playing an inferior opponent, maybe we would have seen Jonathan Quick get the third start in a row. But after an extended game yesterday, a victory, and it's not like they have a slouch backing him up. Ryan Miller has been the backbone of American hockey for quite some time now. And he's had a great season in Buffalo, even though it doesn't look at, when you look at the standings, it certainly doesn't look like Ryan Miller's having a great season, but he really has. It would be a lot worse in Buffalo if it weren't for the play of Ryan Miller this year. Looking at the other groups, Group B, as we all expected, has been dominated by Finland and Canada. They have the two of them have just ripped apart Norway and Austria. They do play each other today. That should be an interesting matchup to see who gets the bye out of Group B. And the real surprise team of the Olympics has been Switzerland. Jonas Hiller has been playing out of his mind. Michael Grabner of the New York Islanders has had a very good start to the Olympics. And they play such a collapsing style of play. They don't give up many shots. They're going to be a very tough team for anyone to face. And I guarantee not many, if Finland, Russia, they're not going to want to play Switzerland just because of how sound they play. Roberto Luongo has looked solid in net for Canada. Like I said, they haven't played. Norway and Austria just don't have anywhere near the firepower in order to keep up with those teams. Jeff Carter has played very well so far for the Canadiens. Olli Maatta, the rookie from Pittsburgh, rookie defenseman, he's been real strong for the Finns. And also notable players in net has been Henrik Lundqvist. Henrik Lundqvist was the reason that that Sweden beat Latvia the other day. And the Swedes, we all they were a lot of people's gold medal predictions. They get hit with a huge, huge loss with their captain, Henrik Zetterberg. And even more important, that's a huge loss for the Detroit Red Wings. Because there's a chance that Henrik Zetterberg, who's the captain of the Detroit Red Wings, misses the year with a herniated disc in his back, which may require surgery. If it requires surgery, he's most likely out for the year, and it's a huge blow to Sweden and Detroit. And without Zetterberg, they looked a little out of place against Latvia. But Henrik Lundqvist really played like the goalie that Ranger fans have come to expect and what the Swedish fans have come to expect. They're going to be dangerous, as always, as we go into the real medal tournament. And that one more time with Group B, Finland does play Canada today, which will be a very interesting and telling match, only because, like I said, you haven't seen any real threat of play against them. So we don't know really which of the two teams is the better one. Because of the such inferior competition that they've had to play. I think the United States has a great shot to medal. A lot of it is going to be determined by seeding and who they have to play in the quarters. But you have to figure in the semis, if they're lucky enough to get that far, they're going to have to play most likely either a Finland, Canada, or Sweden, and none of those teams are easy to beat. Now, of course, we all want to see a rematch of the 2010 games in Vancouver between U.S. and Canada. It would be great for the sport. It was great for the sport 4 years ago. But it's going to be a real fun next couple days of hockey over in Sochi. We only have a couple more minutes left for you. We have about 10 more minutes left of show. And want to switch gears a little bit. For the last couple months, the show has mainly been dedicated to football and hockey. Look, we're going to open up a little bit of baseball talk. Pitchers and catchers reported this week. Most teams have reported. There are a couple that come in today and a couple that come in tomorrow, but the majority of Major League Baseball has reported to camp, at least the pitchers and catchers. There are still a couple potential impact free agents that are on the market that have not been signed yet. One is Nelson Cruz, the former outfielder of the Texas Rangers. Nelson Cruz did have to sit out 50 games with a part of the PED with this Tony Bosch. He was leaked in that report too. But if and his market, which he had set early on, he wanted 5 for $85. He's not getting anywhere close to that. He's 34 years old. He is coming off a year where he had a suspension. How he came up with the thought that he was going to get anywhere close to those numbers is mind-boggling, and it's showing just for the fact that no one has signed him yet. This is a player who's going to make any lineup that he's in, any batting order that he's in, better. And he would be a great fit in a place like with the Mets. He'd be a really nice fit in Seattle, even though I don't think Seattle has any more money to spend after the Robinson Cano contract. It would be a nice move for the Baltimore Orioles. But he has to bring down his asking price. I think the most you're going to see Nelson Cruz signed for is somewhere in the neighborhood of either 2 or 3 years. If I were Nelson Cruz and someone offered me 2 years, $25 million, I'd hop on it because I don't think he's getting any more than that. Another real impact or potential impact player, and you saw his worth when he came back into the lineup last year for the Red Sox, and that's Stephen Drew. Stephen Drew is not going to hit 300. He's not going to hit 20 home runs, drive in 100 runs. That's just not the player Stephen Drew is. But he's going to be as solid defensively as you're going to need a shortstop to play. He'll give you 275. He'll give you 10 to 15 home runs. He'll draw some walks. But you got to think, and I heard this debate last week, of the two, Nelson Cruz and Stephen Drew, who would be a better fit for the Mets. Now, the Mets have no real number four hitter. Let's say Ike Davis needs a lot of improving and has more to build on his game if he wants to be inserted back into the number four spot, even if he gets a spot on the team. Lucas Duda is about as close as it comes, but what they're talking about is Curtis Granderson. If Curtis Granderson is the number four batter, then the Mets are going to have a lot of problems. I think Curtis Granderson works best in that lineup as a five hitter, and Nelson Cruz would be the perfect insertion into that lineup. He can play right field, and not a great right field, but he'll play right field and bat number four if he's a member of the Mets. But if it were up to me and I had to choose one of those two, I have to choose Steven Drew, because I cannot go into the 2014 regular season with Ruben Tejada and Omar Quintanilla as my two shortstops again. Ruben Tejada had an absolute dreadful season, and it started with an absolute dreadful spring training. He just can't hit. And while Ruben Tejada had been a sound defensive player, he made far too many errors at such an important position for someone who barely hit 200. If I had to sign one of them, even though I would love the way the lineup would look more if it were Nelson Cruz than Steven Drew, I think that if they had to sign one, Steven Drew is the better move for the team. And then you hope that Lucas Duda really blossoms and takes a big step forward and can become the number four batter that the Mets are so desperately looking for. There's one pitcher that I'm surprised is still in the market, and again, a lot of that is because of his own personal asking price, and that is Ubaldo Jimenez. Ubaldo Jimenez was brilliant in what was a real bounce-back year for him in Cleveland last year. But there have been far too many inconsistencies with him over the previous two or three years for him to really justify the numbers that he is looking for. I would love to see what Ubaldo Jimenez would look like, maybe like with the Chicago White Sox. Maybe even with being a nice fit as a 4 or 5 starter with the Detroit Tigers. But he's another one, like Nelson Cruz, where he needs to lower his asking price. And that will just about do it for this week's episode of Beyond the Bench. A big thank you to Back Sports Page for producing today's show. Again, once again, go to backsportspage.com. In the next coming weeks, we will be having an online, it'll be in print and on radio. We're going to have one of the players in this year's draft. Still finalizing all of those details. But a player in this year's NFL draft, come do a live journal with us as he prepares for the combine and the draft. Once again, follow me. My name is Ryan Stern, at rstern33bsp. Hope everyone has a great week. And we'll talk to you next week as the NFL Scouting Combine gets underway. Have a great week, everybody.